to Psalm 83C in the red book that's there in the pew ahead of you. Psalm 83C. It just happens to be my turn for the opening of the psalm this morning. It keeps getting more and more infrequent, and for that I'm thankful. Not because I don't like to explain these, but because it means that there are more people who are explaining them. And I'm so thankful for that. Psalm 83C begins at the bottom of that page. And I believe, and you could almost see how this comes out of the very beginning, do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, O Mighty One. This is a cry. You talk about crying out in prayer. This is a real cry from a person who's overwhelmed. Have you ever been to that point yet? Most of you have already been. But if you haven't, the time will come when you will be. Then what are you gonna pray? God says, don't just pray, sing. God says, I want you to sing. When you're at that particular point in your life, just overwhelmed with trouble, real trouble. And that means temptation. One thing after another, after another, after another. You know Paul Harvey, and he told his story about the Good Samaritan who was driving down the road and the car had crashed, and he got out and there wasn't anybody else around, and he got the person into his car, and at the risk of getting his seats all covered with blood, he got the person in the car and was on their way to the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, somebody drove through a stop sign and hit him, just totaled his car. And when the ambulance came, the Good Samaritan still didn't want, he still hadn't been hurt. And so he got into the ambulance with the man he'd picked up first. And as the ambulance took off for the hospital, the ambulance was hit and demolished. And this time the Good Samaritan was hit also. Trouble doesn't come just one time, one thing at a time. It comes by the dozen. It's just one thing after another after another. He gangs up on us. He gangs up on us, and very often this happens early in our Christian life. A person's a new Christian. He's wanting to get rid of that past. But all these things are coming in on top of him. The sight, the sound, the smell, the friendly voice that came from the past just causes him to remember again the sins that he's left behind. And Satan's that way. He wants to kill off that new Christian. He's trying to kill off his very soul, wear him down, make him quit trying. Old habits, new friends, familiar faces from the past. These are the kind of things that pour in on top of a person, very often a new Christian, but not just a new Christian. The old sins that he's left behind, something will remind him of them. And that whole picture was demonstrated for us in the international history of Israel. When Israel was God's people. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, but don't bother to look at it right now. I'll quote from it in a minute. But that's the setting for this psalm. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. God's people trying to live out a life of faith. And God was taking them into the promised land. But right here in this psalm, God is teaching us how to sing our way through the kind of overwhelming trouble that will come your way sooner or later. The whole situation is there in 2 Chronicles 20, where there are at least four nations. The Ishmaelites, named right here in this psalm, we'll sing about them in just a few minutes. The Ishmaelites, the Edomites, the Philistines, the Assyrians, and the sons of Lot, actually five. They're named here in this psalm. We'll sing about them in just a few minutes. Who have ganged up on the Israelites. They're determined the Israelites are not going to get into that promised land. They're going to see to it. They're going to go rub them out. They're just going to annihilate them. The Ishmaelites were sons of Hagar, the woman that Abraham took to wife when it seemed that Sarah was too old. And they demonstrate impatience. I'm not going to wait for God to get this done. I have to do it myself. I just can't wait for Him. I'll have to take matters into my own hands. I'll do God's work my way in my time. The Edomites, sons of Esau, temptation to forget the promises of the future and do what Esau did the night he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. And the Philistines, the kinds of sins that a Christian just doesn't deal with ruthlessly. He lets them remain. The Philistines, Joshua allowed the Philistines to remain, and over again, they became a real temptation and a snare to the Israelites. The old habit that I don't deal with to begin with is still there. It comes back to bite us because we haven't really dealt with it. The Assyrians represent those who hate God and mock God and love evil instead of good. And the children of Lot symbolize greed. Lot just took what he really wanted, what looked best to him. The point here is that back in 2 Chronicles 20, all these people listed here in Psalm 38, we'll be seeing those words, those names in just a minute, had ganged up on the Israelites, God's people. And God's people, they want to kill them off. Lust, pleasure of the moment. Impatience, just not going to wait for God's timing. Compromise with evil. Evil powers of environment, things I just can't do anything about them. Greed. Did you ever feel just overwhelmed by these kinds of things? Just covered up. Sometimes these seem to gang up on us and overwhelm us. You'll find every one of these in that first temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Every one of these is there. I was talking with Dr. Bob Heimberger. Some of you know he's an elder in the congregation long ago. And he said, 40 days and 40 nights without food is a physical impossibility. You'd be dead. Well, Satan waited until Jesus had been 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. And then he hit him with all those temptations. And it's when we're down that these temptations hit us. And that's why God says, when you get to that point, and it will come, then this is what I want you to pray. No, this is what I want you to sing. Now let's look at the words. Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, O Mighty One. For now your foes arouse and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Notice how God says, I want you to identify with those who are my enemies. When you find yourself in this position being beaten to pieces, I want you to identify these as being my enemies. He's speaking to God. He says, your foes, your enemies, against your people now, they plot in secret. You see what he's saying? He's saying, God, these people are plotting against me, but he says they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. Tell God what the problem is. They say, let us go up and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. We're going to rub them out. We're just going to annihilate that you. You as a believer. We're just going to take you out. Together, second stanza, together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made a covenant. Be sure to identify with the temptation and with the people who are persecuting in terms of what that person means to God. They're making a covenant against you, God. The Ishmaelites are there. The tents of Edom, the men of Moab, these are the people we're talking about, with the Hagarenes, Segebal, Amalek, with men of Ammon. Behold, Philistia and them of Tyre, for Asher too has come and joins their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Now, beginning in stanza 3, what do you pray that God will do to them? Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. That was Gideon. And you know what happened with the Amalekites there. Treat them like Sisera at Kishon. That was Deborah's victory. At Endor, they were all annihilated, and they become as dung upon the ground. Like Oreb make their chiefs, their lords like Zeba, who thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them be like whirling dust clouds. Make them like bits of chaff before the wind. This is what you're praying. He says, I want you to pray. I want you to pray singing. But this is what you pray. And then look at the last four stanza. Like fire that burns the woods, like flames of lightning, pursue them with your storms and strike with fear. Fill up their faces with humiliation and let them seek your name, Jehovah, then. What is it that he wants? He wants their wickedness destroyed. He wants them to seek your name, Jehovah. That's the prayer. Don't complain about this prayer. God wrote it. Can you write a better prayer than God wrote? Be careful. When you pretend to be more merciful than God is, then you're wrong. Let them seek your name, Jehovah. Let them be terrified and shamed forever. Let them be dismayed and destroyed. Let them know you alone. Let them know you alone. You are Jehovah. Let them know that you are Jehovah. You are the one most high over all the earth. Very interesting little thing that happens there in 2 Chronicles 20. The record is very clear. Great coalition of nations, a huge army made up of five or six different armies. And on the way to the attack against Jerusalem, they had stopped off long enough to plunder a lot of the other nations and cities around about there. They picked up a lot of gold and silver. But the Israelites in Judah and Jerusalem had asked God. God said, go meet them because you're not going to have to fight them. And what had happened was that this coalition of armies had fallen out among themselves. They'd begun fighting among themselves over the plunder that they'd already picked up. They began fighting, and when the Jews got there, they found that they had killed each other. There wasn't anything they had to do except they spent 3 days picking up the gold and silver, the plunder that was there. That which is evil doesn't have any basis for coming together. The Israelites had a basis for coming together in their faith and confidence in God. And I can remember hearing Hitler on the radio ranting and raving. Where is he today? There was a falling out of that which is evil. There's a falling out. I can remember some of the same things in terms of the history of Stalin. There was a falling out. Where is he today? But on the other hand, for believers, there's a base for coming together. It's a solution. It's a solution. It's as you add salt to water, there becomes a solution. As you add oil to water, it's just droplets of oil in the water. That was the problem with this coalition, overwhelming coalition that was coming to attack Israel. God's teaching us a lesson there about that. But the important thing that God is teaching us here is what to do in times of overwhelming, just overwhelmed with temptation to sin. And there in 2 Chronicles 20, God says in verse 22, when God's people began to sing and praise the Lord, then the Lord set ambushes against the enemy, and they were destroyed. When God's people began to sing out of their overwhelming problem and temptation, when God's people began to sing, then came the victory. So, will you begin to sing? Will you begin to sing? And what will you sing? God hasn't even left that to our guesswork. He has actually written out what he says will please me and what will cause me to set ambushes and give you the victory. Don't be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest. Oh, Mighty One, I want you to hear me. This is desperate. Hear me right now. Let's rise to sing. Father in heaven, we just desire that those who represent wickedness would come to know you, that you would humiliate them, do whatever you need in order to cause them to come to know you, to seek you, and then to know you as the one who is most high over all the earth. And now, Lord, bless us as we come together in your house on your day. Thank you for setting aside a whole day and inviting us to come to your house and promising to meet with us here where two or three are gathered together in your name. You said there you'd be in the midst of them, and promising to speak to us that your word would never go out and return to you void, but always accomplish precisely what you please and prosper the thing which you send it. God, we ask your blessing, and we thank you for the fact that you are here, that our singing would be that which is pleasing to you, and that our giving would be out of a clear heart, a pure heart, and that our thinking would be thinking your thoughts after you, and that our praying would be a real beseeching of you, that all parts of this service might be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.